6 minutes past the hour. Welcome to the Sports Forum here on WADK Sports Forum, sponsored by Chad Kritz's Keller Williams Realty, number one in sales in Newport County. Call 474-5669 or online at callchad.com. Dave Sperling, did you watch the All-Star game?
Yes. Did I watch the whole thing? No. Did I fall asleep? Yes.
I had it on. I had the pregame on. I was home all night last night. I watched the pregame for like 2 hours. I watched like an hour of ESPN. I don't know why, but I did. I felt like it was important for some reason.
I have one question.
Okay.
I thought Pete Rose was banned from all Major League Baseball activities.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? You saw the same
thing on Fox,
the opening, with him and Frank Thomas.
Yeah, him and Frank Thomas. And then I saw when they were, the All-Star game was about to start, they had like the old-time guys doing that thing.
They announced that.
Oh, no, I knew that, but I'm talking about like a pre-introduction commercial type deal where they're all like in a studio saying like the crack of the bat, stuff like that. And I thought Pete Rose was banned from all baseball activities, Major League Baseball. And aren't the Cincinnati Reds an entity of Major League Baseball?
So you got a bit of a bone to pick here, because I really wasn't even thinking on these along these lines. I was like, okay, he got a free pass for tonight. And I figured, there does come a point where, as far as, I think Major League Baseball might have, like, you know, the executives, the people, whomever, might have arrived in Cincinnati, and they were like, yeah, we pretty much can't say no to anything around here. We might not get out of here alive. These people are crazily in love with him. But I'll tell you, the thing that stuck out to me was when they were doing the
Franchise 4?
No. That was fine. Actually, he didn't get as big of an ovation as I thought he would get, because I think Todd Frazier got the biggest one still when they announced him in the starting lineup. But when him and Frank Thomas, and it wasn't Joe Buck, it was some other guy, like a studio guy.
Harold Reynolds?
I don't know.
Tom Verducci?
I don't know. But the three of them were sitting there, and they were just talking about the state of baseball and various teams and all of this. And you could just feel the discomfort on there, because it's kind of like, well, let's just get Pete in here and have him do this with us. And it's that time, and I think they realized quickly, we have no idea what he's going to say. And the thing was, he had really good baseball insights, but he was also just giving Frank Thomas like he's his best friend, but a really hard time. So he's either his best friend or his worst enemy. And you know,
kind of like how I treat you.
Kind of, yeah. But it's like, it was one of these things where like, do these guys hate each other? Is Thomas going to come after him? He's like 70, but I bet you Rose can still throw a punch. Thomas is the size of a tank. And it was like,
they called him the Big Hurt for a reason.
He was ribbing him, and Thomas didn't know where to go with it, because Thomas was acting like a broadcaster. He was smiling. He was looking at the camera. He was doing all. Dave's sitting there smiling and winking, but yeah, he was. And he looked as though, and Frank Thomas does this from time to time, and man, he's big. Even sitting down, you could tell how big he is. But but you're watching it, and Rose is like, his eyes are kind of down, and he's talking about this. The things that he's saying are, I mean, he's obviously amazingly knowledgeable. And I would love to listen to him.
The number one hitter in Major League Baseball in history, you would think he'd be knowledgeable.
Oh, some of them aren't. You ever listen to Joe Montana get interviewed? It's one of the worst interviews you ever hear in your life. The guy doesn't know nothing about nothing. I mean, he knows probably a lot
about shape up.
He knew his own playbook. Now, a lot of the big time superstars are terrible about the game that they're. Donovan McNabb didn't know the rules overtime.
Well, that's because he's drunk most of the time.
But Pete Rose is a guy who's not just the all time hits leader.
Yeah, he's
the guy who wakes up every morning thinking about baseball.
Did you see the 30 for 30 short on Grantland about Pete Rose and how he just goes to malls and sells autographs?
Yeah, I didn't like it because I thought that was almost unfair.
Why?
Because to me there was a.
I mean, Pete volunteered for it.
Yeah, you volunteered for it, but what you volunteer to go on camera and then how they end up slanting the narration that goes over it.
The narrative.
I thought that was unfair.
Wait, so you feel bad? You feel bad
in the 30 for 30? They painted him as a pathetic figure.
Well, I mean, kind of is. I mean, look.
How do you know?
Look, he has that one commercial that every time it airs, it's hysterical.
Well, yeah, he's in the hallway.
He's in his hallway, and it's like, Pete,
get out of the hall.
And he's like, even in my own house?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah. And I like Pete Rose, that he's able to make fun of himself almost in a way. But in another way, how bad he wants to get in the Hall of Fame and how bad he wants to be accepted by people in baseball is almost pathetic.
Have you ever
heard... he dug his own grave. He's made his own bed. He has to lay in it.
Okay, but hang on now. Your premise, I don't know about your premise here, because I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know the answer to it.
Okay.
Have you ever heard him say it, that he wants to get in the Hall of Fame, even once?
No.
I've heard a lot of other people say it. I've heard it was a discussion that I've had on my own when you weren't here, and you and I have kind of touched on it a little bit, but I've never heard him say it. And you know what? Listening to him talk and to seeing, like, the style of this guy, I mean, this is, like, the kind of guy who fixes his own carburetor. You know what I mean? That's what I – when I see Pete Rose, I see a guy who, if he needs a new shed, he just builds it. He chops down the damn tree and starts – you know, cuts up the boards and builds a shed. And that's my feeling about him. And I got to tell you, it's like, I know he shows up at stuff. Like, he does show up at Cooperstown sometimes, and he'll be doing autographs right outside of there. And you could say, well, yeah, so clearly he wants to get into the Hall. And I'm thinking, clearly he made 10 large that day signing autographs. You know, of course he's going to be, I mean, why wouldn't you? To sit in a chair and take all that money? And I just think that it's, yeah, he made his own bed, he lied in it, and again, don't ever gamble. I'll tell you who was the most embarrassing person I saw last night.
Harold Reynolds?
Curt Schilling.
Oh.
Curt Schilling.
Curt Schilling was there?
I know, well, he was in the ESPN, one of them. You know, yeah, he was in the ESPN pregame.
Yeah.
And I like Curt Schilling, and I tend to, like, I'm predisposed to, like, want to side with him in a lot of things. However, when they asked Curt about, you know, Pete and the Hall of Fame, he lost his mind. I mean, he was shrill. He was going, no, he can't ever be in the Hall. You can't ever, the first thing they teach you, you can't ever do this. And, like, then the other guys were starting to make their points, and Curt wouldn't stop. He was, like, talking over them and, like, sitting up really straight in his chair. Like, and I was like, why are you making this personal? You know, why do you, I mean, and I know that Curt was also a big guy against PEDs, where he's like, I had to pitch against these guys, you know, and, like, think about me. It's like, I had a great career. Think about all the pitchers who were maybe almost as good who ended up, you know, having bad careers because they had to pitch, you know. He's very idealistic when it comes to stuff like that. But on this whole, you know, Pete Rose thing, I'm thinking, I was just happy to see the guy last night. You know what I mean? It's like he's part of my childhood. I remember him. But I just like, yeah, get him on TV for God's sake. You know, and if he's not there, you're going to be embarrassed. So I'm glad they got him there, and I'm glad they did all that.
Do you think Pete should be in the Hall?
I don't care, really.
That was my answer. I really honestly don't care because, look, this guy gambled, and he's lied about it for decades, and he's still probably lying about it. I think Pete Rose is a liar. All right.
Here's a question.
And he's a gambler. But if you're going to let in all these PED users eventually, which I think as the old baseball writers die out and the younger generation comes in.
Well, a lot of things are going to change.
A lot of things are going to change. And I think eventually Pete Rose will make it to the Hall of Fame. Will he be alive for that? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we're like 10 years away from Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame.
When I was watching that panel discussion last night with the Curt Schilling one, I vicariously put myself in it, and I was thinking, what would I say right now? And the thing was, I would say, okay, I know everybody on this panel knows the answer to this question because we're baseball people. I would have to be a baseball person to be there, so mm-hmm. That's why I use the first person. But I was like, I know everyone knows the answer to this question, but average fan, ask him a simple question. Is Shoeless Joe Jackson in the Baseball Hall of Fame? And they will not be able to tell you the answer for certain. They don't know for sure. Have they heard?
Not even I think. I know for sure.
Have they heard of Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely they have. I mean, obviously the Kevin Costner movie helped. But he's also a legendary player in baseball history. I mean, they spend that whole movie talking about, that's how the characters in that movie know about him. Is he in the Hall of Fame? No, he's not. He's not. I mean, because he gambled on baseball. You know, and that.
His was different.
He shaved.
He took a dive.
He took a dive, yeah. So did everybody remember that.
It was either before or after the Red Sox won that.
Right. Series. But it's like, so if you accept that premise that the guy's still a legend, you got different actors playing him in different movies, always very sympathetically, by the way. I don't know if you know how Pete Rose would be treated sympathetically, but I will line up 100 Hall of Famers, actual guys in the Hall of Fame, like they have their cards,
yeah,
but cover up their names and all you see is the picture. And somewhere in that lineup of 100 faces, all in the Hall of Fame, I'm going to pluck one guy out and I'm going to put Pete Rose in. How many of those get identified? Like maybe 25 by the average person, and Pete Rose will be in 100% of the, yeah, I know who he is. That's Pete Rose.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's Charlie Hustle. We all know, the all-time hits leader.
We all know who Pete Rose is, but that's not the point.
So, no, but I just think he's in his own Hall of Fame already. He wasn't a great player. He was the great player. And so, to me, it's like, that's why I don't care.
The greatest singles hitter of all time.
Yeah. And a lot of other things, too. Just the way he played.
Yes.
The unmeasurable things about baseball.
The intangibles.
He was the greatest ever. I would put him up against anybody. Like, who played harder than him? No one.
Like, no, you're right. He
would break the base when he split
into it. The one thing we all remember is Pete Rose bashing that catcher.
Well, after last night, you sure do. They showed that about 25 times last night. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Because it was the anniversary of it. And did you hear the, this is the thing I wanted to talk about. Did you hear the exchange between him? Did you watch that, the him with Frank Thomas?
No.
Okay. They asked about that. The studio guy, the 28-year-old, like, why in the hell would you put this guy on a dais with Pete Rose? I have no idea. Or on a studio set with Pete Rose. And he goes, so, I mean, now, Pete, it's been 40 years or 45 years or however long it's been. Do you regret hurting that guy? And Rose just tore into him. He goes, all right, first of all, he's blocking the plate. I did not run him over. I went over him, and I tagged the plate. Second, he played 9 more years, and I had to miss a week after that because I got hurt on that play, too. I mean, he just, like, took off into him. And I'm just like, go, Pete, go. It's like, because that's it. All we know is, oh, I even said it the other day. I said it on the air. I said that Pete Rose is so intense that he took out a catcher in the All-Star game. Like, no one does that. And he goes, it was to win the game. I did it to win the game, and I didn't do anything dirty. I went over me. I had the plate blocked. I couldn't get it. It's like, if I slid in, and Frank Thomas goes, did you start to slide? He goes, yes, I did, but I knew if I finished that slide, I was going to break both my collarbones because he was all over that plate, so I had to go over him, and that's when he got knocked over, and my knee caught his shoulder, and that's why, and he's just going all through it, and you're sitting there just going, and then they keep showing the replay because they already had that stuff like booted up.
Yeah, no, they already had it ready to go on the switcher.
But they also already had the script written, like Pete Rose hurts the cat, Bob Fosse or something Fosse, and they keep doing it, and it's like, yeah, they should go back and edit this right now, because I watched that video after hearing Pete describe what Pete did, and I'm going, he's right. He's right. He did what he needed to do. And then they asked him, would you do it again, Pete? He goes, damn right, we won the game.
All right, you're convincing me.
Okay, let's run to a commercial now. I didn't realize they're going to get that much mileage out of that, but yeah, I'll tell you, I have to say it, and everyone's like, oh my God, he gambled on the game. Yes, he did. Okay. I came away with a very positive impression of Pete Rose last night. Hall of Fame, Schmall of Fame. I don't care. Bunch of old fat dudes.
He's in the Hall of Pete.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Pete. Dave and Dave, Sports Forum. Be right back.
Baseball season is finally here, and the Ocean State Wave season is in full swing. This year, the scene at Old Mountain Field in Wakefield will be better than ever with the inception of food trucks. Delicious, non-traditional baseball park fare in a place where affordable family fun meets quality baseball. Join Mix 99.3 and the Ocean State Waves all summer long. Catch the waves. Go to OceanStateWaves.com for a full game schedule and more information.
Area kids can celebrate summer vacation with free meals through August. Rhode Island youth under 18 can get delicious and nutritious lunches at neighborhood parks and other sites all summer long. For more information and details, call United Way. Simply dial 211 in Rhode Island. Distribution points are Aquidneck Park, Chapel Terrace, Myantonomi Memorial Park, Vernon Park, Morton Park, and Bayside Village.
Newport's Best Harbor View, the Port Seafood Grill and Bar at the Ann Street Pier. One of Newport's best dinner deals, Lobster Mania, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. All lobster dishes on the menu, just $16.95. At the same time, bar happy apps with discounted appetizers, including $1 oysters and little necks, served at the bar and lounge area. Located on the harbor in between Christie's Landing and the Ann Street Pier. The Port, hard to find, worth the effort.
The following is a summary of the general contest rules for 3G broadcasting. For contests, entry requirements will be announced on air. Winners will be determined in accordance with the criteria set forth in the on-air announcement. 3G broadcasting is not responsible for unusable entries. Station is not responsible for entries not received due to technical difficulties. Station is not responsible for any lost, disconnected, dropped, misdirected, or incomplete telephone calls. Entrants may be disqualified at the sole discretion of the station. Each contest is open to all station listeners who are legal United States citizens 18 years of age or older and who reside in the station listening area. The station shall have the right to change these eligibility requirements based on the individual contest in question. Listeners are eligible to win a contest only once every 30 days. Only one winner per household is permitted in any contest. Participants in the contest must possess valid government-issued photo identification and sign a liability release as a condition of receiving any prize. Winner must meet all eligibility requirements. Prizes will be announced within the specific contest's on-air announcement. Contest prizes are non-transferable. Winners will receive a 1099 IRS tax form if the total of all prizes won for a current year equal more than $600 in value. Prizes are limited solely to those items explicitly set forth herein and shall not include any or all other expenses, incidentals, or taxes that may arise out of the winner's receipt of this prize. Decisions of station management with respect to the contest are final. Odds of winning vary per contest. Payment of all federal, state, and local taxes are the sole responsibility of the winner. Winners will be required to sign an IRS Form W-9 or the equivalent. Failure or refusal to execute the release will result in the winner forfeiting the prize. Photo identification and social security number of the grand prize winner may also be required in order to collect the prize. For internet contests, the station in its sole discretion reserves the right to disqualify any person tampering with the entry process. The station reserves the right in its sole discretion to modify the contest rules and dates at any time for any reason. No purchase is necessary. The contest is void where prohibited. Copies of the written contest rules and a list of all winners are available during regular business hours at the main studio of the radio station, 15 Dr. Marcus Wheatland Boulevard, Newport, Rhode Island, 02840.
The average family spends $1,000 a year for maintenance and repairs on each vehicle they own. The car coach, Lauren Fix, says you can save money by doing a little research. Every shop can have a different rate, so it's really wise to use the internet to shop around. Also, arm yourself with knowledge. Scan tools like Actron can show you exactly what's wrong with your car, so you aren't upsold.
Portsmouth's Information Station, 1540 WADK.
During the breaks here, Dave and I just like both whip out the phones and start going through, okay, what's going on? Because, you know, stuff usually is actually happening during the sport. Welcome back to the Sports Forum, by the way. From the Bleacher Reports, Gronk and Charlotte McKinney, who I'm supposing, do you know who Charlotte McKinney is, Dave?
No idea.
I'm assuming she's a very lovely, scantily clad young girl, and that seems to be what the picture would indicate. Gronk, Charlotte McKinney star in a Gronking to Remember spoof trailer. If you recall, right before the Super Bowl, the world, because it was talked about during media day, so the entire planet became aware of a really, really awful romance novel called A Gronking to Remember. Obviously, some female, like, pseudo-author decided that Gronk was just so awesome that she had to write a bad romance novel about him. So here he is, and there's a picture, and he's in his pad, or in shoulder pads, and there's a girl in a bikini, and, you know. I really want him to stop doing non-football-related things, because it seems like there's one of these a day at this point. It's starting to make me nervous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're okay? You're okay with this? Training camp is, like, hours away. I mean, this guy's supposed to be some sort of workout crazed dude. J.J. Watt is like actually catching animals in the wild
if Tom Brady...
and eating through their rib cage with his teeth. I mean, J.J. Watt is doing the Rocky IV workout from, like, Siberia, like where he's like in deep snow carrying around cabin logs. And Gronk is doing video spoofs. He's doing TMZ stuff.
Yes, yeah, but this has been Gronk. This is what Gronk has done. This is Gronk being Gronk. It's not
No. This is different. Before Super Bowl wasn't like this. This is post-Super Bowl Gronk. He did a few things. Like, you would see, like, one thing with him parting with Manziel. That was, like, the one thing you saw all of last season.
Yeah, but
you knew there were other ones.
The things he's doing, it's not going to injure him. It's not going to take him away from the game.
It is taking away from the game.
No, training camp hasn't started yet. Once training camp is here, if he is still doing these type of shenanigans, then yes, I'll be worried. But until then, he's allowed to do whatever he wants in his free time. If he wants to make a funny video about or Gronking to remember, he has every right to do so.
I'm not talking about his rights. I'm talking about being a good football player.
He is going to be a good football player. Making this Gronking to remember video is not going to hinder his ability to block on the offensive line or catch touchdown passes.
I've just watched this now.
Gronk being Gronk.
I've just watched this for like 20 years. And every single year there's a guy. And the one that sticks out to me is Chris Johnson. When Chris Johnson did rush for 2,000 yards.
CJ 2K.
That off season, he started, him and his really ugly, he's not a good looking man, but he just started showing up everywhere and doing everything. And he has never been heard from again. He will catch a swing pass for 17 yards. That's his typical stat line now. One rush for 5, one reception for 17, thrown at 4. You know, that's the Chris John. The CJ2K is now CJ. That's your stat line.
CJ one catch 17 yards.
But it's not just him. It's not just him. You see this all the time in all of sports where an athlete suddenly gets that superstardom. And Julian Edelman was making me a little bit nervous. Now I know both. The one thing that Gronk and Julian apparently both have in common is they're complete workout freaks.
Yeah.
And but okay, that's a reputation. With Tom Brady, it's reality. And you know that he's a workout freak because he's almost my age and he's still bringing it. And I don't know. I just think that of all of the boring corporate, you know, just absolutely doing the right thing all the time, Patriots things, and clearly Gronk is a big reason. We just got that 4th trophy, a huge reason. It just makes me nervous when I see one of the guys decide, okay, there are different rules for me, or I'm just going to go off it. Now,
hasn't he been doing this for a while, though?
Not like this.
No, last offseason, he shot the Entourage movie when he broke his arm, all right? And he has been like this, but yes, he has been in the media more so this offseason. I don't think necessarily that is hindering his workout, his offseason workout. He still looks like he's in shape. He's still being Gronk. And look, come August 14th.
J.J. Watt is hanging.
J.J. Watt is different. J.J. Watt is different.
J.J. Watt is hanging upside down from a rafter in Tibet with Liam Neeson beating him with sticks so he can be part of the League of Shadows. I mean, J.J. Watt is working out with Jackie Chan. J.J. Watt is doing the Thighmaster.
I like the Batman reference.
J.J. Watt is doing every possible thing he can do to be the most fearsome guy. And now J.J. Watt also doesn't have a Lombardi trophy, not even close.
But Gronk, in my mind, is doing Gronk thing. This is all part of Gronk's master plan. In reality.
Wait a second. In reality,
Gronk is a genius. He is giving off this false persona.
Okay, pull yourself out of the comic book here. You just used the phrase Gronk master plan in a sentence. Okay, that guy hasn't had a master plan in his life.
Look, no, Gronk wants everyone to think he's an idiot. Gronk wants everyone to think. Gronk talks like this. Gronk angry. Gronk hungry. Gronk wants smash. No, Gronk knows what Gronk is doing. All right? And Gronk wouldn't be doing any of this stuff if Bill pulled him over and said, hey, you know what? You need to calm down. You need to focus on football, you know, because I'm Bill Belichick and we do things here in New England.
I don't think that's really congruent with what we're trying to accomplish on the field.
Yeah, no, see, he would be pulled aside from Bill or Tom. And obviously it hasn't happened yet because he's still out doing these things.
I don't know that I believe the point that you're making. I'm just saying I'm paying attention. And if we can be done now.
Look,
if we can be done, Gronking to remember could be Gronking to forget, and let's just move on. However, I'm gonna take issue with one thing you said. In reality, I don't think anyone ever gets the call.
I really think you need to be focusing on football right now. I'd like to work on your
flexibility. You don't think Tom would call him?
No, but I don't think Bill ever calls anyone. And that thing is, I think Bill, his MO from day one has been, here's the rope, feel free to hang yourself. If you get it, you won't even go near that rope. If you don't get it, you're doing me a favor because now I can get you out of here. Because if you look at how quick he is,
Gronk's
different. One guy's out of Foxborough.
I think Gronk's different. If we can't get rid of Gronk.
That is the thing.
Gronk is different.
There hasn't been a player like him. Whew. I think you got to go back to the 70s. I think in the 1970s, there were a lot of players like him, like these big, goofy, fun-loving guys. He just happens to be a lot richer. I think Ted Hendricks was one of my favorite all-time players. He's an Oakland Raider. I think Ted Hendricks was kind of like Gronkowski. And he's great, great, all-pro linebacker for the Raiders. But, I mean, yeah, back then there were more characters. So he's a bit of a throwback in, like, this, you know, in this human frame that's from the future.
He's 6'6". 248-pound teddy bear, all right? And I just think if he was out of line, one of his teammates would have told him, hey, straighten up, you know? And obviously that hasn't happened yet. And look, we're talking about Gronk, and we're not even talking about Deflategate. So maybe this is all some part of Bill's master distraction
plan. I actually sometimes get a little bit concerned for the conspiracy theories that I come up with. And you're running that one up the flagpole?
Why not?
Part of some master plan? You know, Gronk, we'd like you to go out there and do some outrageous things.
Gronk, we'd like you to be you, but I want you to be you on a bigger scale.
Rob, this is Coach Belichick. We would like you to go do a Gronking to Remember trailer spoof video so that we can get the focus off of Deflategate.
Are you telling me that is out of the realm of possibility for Bill Belichick?
Yes, I am telling you exactly
why.
Because it's completely ludicrous.
But that's the point. That's what we need here. That's what we need here in New England. Because Roger Goodell's not going to come out with his decision most likely until, like, August 1st.
I think it could come out today. I really think we're here now. One thing, I don't think they're going to hide it. That's what I've...
Should we save this for next segment?
Let's save it for next segment.
Because we're already over a little bit.
Yeah, actually, we already are all over. But I've changed my opinion.
We'll talk about it after the break. W80K.
I think it's a day that ends in a Y. I've changed my opinion about Deflategate. We'll be right back. You just did a good job of taking us out, David Dave Sports Forum, W80K.
Hi, I'm Chad Kritzis with the Chad Kritzis team at Keller Williams Realty of Newport. We're number one in sales in Newport County with 100 sales last year. That says something about us, but baby, that's not what is important to you. What may mean the most to you is that I will give you personal service. My web address is callchad.com because I'll take your call, talk with you directly, and help you sell your home or find the home that you're looking for. So before you list your home with anybody else, give us a call. My personal cell phone number is 401-474-5669 or visit callchad.com for more information.
Looking for a car? Hyundai is a must-see. I'm Paul Mika, owner of Hyundai of Newport. After you drive a Hyundai, you will feel as passionate as I do about the quality of our cars. You'll get a square deal and great service, like free pickup and delivery and free loaner cars if your car needs service, as long as you bought your car from Hyundai of Newport. Need to cross the bridge? We'll reimburse you for your easy pass and give you a crisp $2 bill every time you visit with us. Hyundai of Newport. More for less.
Hi, this is Randy from Freedom Restoration and Cleaning. We are a family-owned and operated business out of Tiverton. Freedom Restoration and Cleaning has been in business for 24 years. We offer fine antique area rug cleaning, wool area rug cleaning, cotton and tapestry cleaning. One of the things we do different at Freedom Restoration and Cleaning is we offer free pickup and delivery and free estimates. All of our Freedom Restoration technicians are certified. If you have any questions or would like a free estimate, please contact us, Freedom Restoration and Cleaning, 846-4319, or look us up on the web, newportfreedom.com.
I think it's a great time to visit South Korea or Egypt. Yes, I know the MERS virus is present in South Korea, and the police had a shootout with terrorists in Egypt's Luxor recently. But would you not visit Charleston, South Carolina because of the horrendous church killings there last month? I'm Rudy Max with today's Travel Minute from Rudy Max's World. First, the easiest, Korea. In the past 6 weeks, Middle East respiratory syndrome has made the headlines in South Korea. But keep in mind, almost all incidents have been confined to healthcare facilities. There's not a widespread outbreak as SARS was in Hong Kong 12 years ago. Egypt's a bit more dicey because of general political uncertainty. And I cannot really equate the Luxor incident, which no tourists were injured, with South Carolina. But keep in mind that since Barack Obama has become president, he's had to make 12 grim speeches following mass killings in the United States. I'm not avoiding Aurora, Colorado, or Charleston, South Carolina. I live in St. Paul, adjacent to Minneapolis, where 3 years ago a guy killed 5 people in a workplace. I didn't move out of town, and I wouldn't hesitate to visit South Korea or Egypt. You'll find travel info at rudymaxa.com.
Get news updates all day, every day at wadk.com.
All right, which is going to be? Because we got some kind of breaking news here, but we also, well, it's not really breaking. Like, no, nothing that you totally care about, dear listener. But Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas both signed for basically the identical contract. Gee, I wonder, what a coincidence.
Ooh, what a coincidence.
Wow, that's amazing. They both signed. Hey, Dez. Hey, it's Demarius. How you doing? What'd you sign for? Oh, me too. Oh, that's wild. How'd that happen? It couldn't be colluding or what's that word?
Concussion?
All right, you know.
No, let's talk about Tom Brady.
Let's talk about Tom Brady.
Let's actually fulfill a tease.
My opinion
that we...
has changed because you and I part of it. Yeah, let's be honest here. Part of it is because it was fun to keep suggesting when the perfect time to drop the embarrassing self-immolation of the NFL Tom Brady suspension reduction.
Are we sure it's going to be a reduction?
Yes, I am sure. I would bet the ranch.
Do you want to bet the ranch?
I don't own a ranch, but if I had a ranch, I would bet the whole ranch.
Let's bet one family-sized bag of Cool Ranch Doritos.
And a bottle of ranch dressing. It's going to be a reduction. Horrible. It might be an elimination. We've already done that conversation.
I think he's too... But Roger Goodell is too egotistical to reduce it all four games.
I was pretty convinced that they were going to hide the announcement. In other words, try and sneak it in places like...
Oh, then...
We've been going all the way back to March Madness for this.
No, but then your argument of... It could come out today.
That's
crazy because
I just started
what sports are going on today?
By saying I have changed my mind now. So if you just
you've changed your mind from how you felt.
I think I ended
at the end of the segment.
I ended the last segment by saying I've changed my mind. I'm going to tell you how. Just have a cream soda. Be quiet over there for a moment.
No, I don't want to be quiet.
I've thought up to this point that they're going to try and sneak it out like a Friday afternoon news dump. At this point, I don't see what's the point anymore. I think they're just going to throw it out there because unless they completely vacate it. And, you know, frankly, even if they do completely vacate it, you still got to deal with the Patriots and the draft picks because now the Patriots would have perfect grounds to come back and ask about that. It's not the last chapter. So why not? I think we should be looking at Twitter all the time now, as you do anyway.
I think today would be an idiotic move by Roger Goodell because the biggest thing in sports happening today is Summer League or the ESPYs.
But don't we already have, like, haven't there already been, like, five or six high-quality, just you would sneak it through the bushes?
Yes, I mean, July 3rd.
July 3rd was ridiculously good.
Friday 4:59 on July 3rd would have been the perfect time to release this.
The NBA draft wouldn't have been bad. The NBA finals wouldn't have been bad. There was other stuff going on right about then, too. If you go back
Take yesterday. Take the Home Run Derby. Take Monday. But today would be ridiculous because you have nothing going on in sports.
Well, no,
it's Black Wednesday.
This is my point. Is like I don't think they're paying any attention to that anymore.
And But they should be. Shouldn't the NFL be on PR watch constantly now?
But this kind of because every time we've had this conversation, we go all the way through. Here is what the smart PR thing for the NFL to do is, and at the end of it, we go, of course they won't do that because it would be the first time in Roger Goodell's tenure that they've done the right PR thing because they always do the wrong PR thing.
Yeah.
So I think that they're not even paying attention to that. I think it's just going to plop. There it is on 12 o'clock on a Thursday.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't if. Like, Adam Schefter reported today that he wouldn't be surprised if it's not announced until the end of the month. I think at this point now, obviously, the vendetta against the New England Patriots, the bias that NFL head offices have against Bob Kraft, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and New England, it's clear. I'm not being a homer saying this. The NFL doesn't like New England, and I feel like they're going to try to screw them in the worst way possible. Which would be releasing it as close to training camp as they can get it.
I look at it differently. I think that, yes, and I can't remember the name of the Jets, former Jets employee who's actually got a hand in all this stuff, but yeah, I think you're right about the NFL offices, and I think you're right about the vice president of punishments, whatever his name. I mean, all those characters were like, it was just absolutely, the stars were aligning, like we are just going to take the dagger and stab it into New England because we hate them. That was apparent like in February.
Yeah.
In March. That was apparent then. I think at Park Avenue, they might have, like, realized between then and now, it's like, we've really looked stupid doing this. The Ted Wells report, which is our smoking gun, is a complete joke.
Which they spent, what, $5 million on?
And, I mean, everything about this is such a, just an absolute jalopy. And I think they've realized, wow, we really overplayed that hand. We got to back off now. Now what do? We need to get out of this thing. They need to get out of it.
Look, if they were... doing what you thought they were thinking that way, then the announcement would have come 3 days after Tom Brady's hearing, and it's already been 3 weeks. This thing would have been, Roger Goodell A, would have taken himself out of the judge's chair for Tom Brady's hearing, and the decision would have already been made. We would have brushed this under the rug.
See, I disagree there, too.
Why?
I think there's all the more reason for him to be in the judge's chair if they've basically come up with their, like, even, like, okay, we're embarrassed at this point. We're going to do the hearing. Now Goodell has to control it because he doesn't want to leave it to an independent arbitrator who could take that hearing and turn it into a big-time public kangaroo court. In other words, if you know you're going into this thing and you the potential, all the evidence, all the people, all the everything is there to embarrass you, you're not going to hand it off to somebody else. Like, no, I'm going to be in there so I can, by Robert's rules of order, sit there and say, okay, the chair will now recognize this person. Okay, you've had enough time. We're going on to this person. Because you want to keep it down to a dull roar.
No, but
you hand it off to some third party. They can say invite in the reporters. You have no control now.
At this point, you're no matter what this decision, anything with hashtag Deflategate or just New England, it's going to make more than a loud roar. Every NFL fan now cares about this.
What I was referring to there was the hearing itself.
That was going to make a loud roar no matter what.
Well, no, but no reporters were allowed in there.
But information still got out.
Reporters, not much. Reporters would have been allowed in there potentially if he had to control it, and he did control it, and now that's done, and we really don't know we barely know anything about what happened in that room. Now it's just, you know, I just think that, and it's an opinion, clearly on Park Avenue, they realize we got to get out of this thing. This is potentially very embarrassing for the league at this point.
I just don't feel that way. I feel like if they felt like that, then some of their sloppier mistakes they would have corrected. They would have amended them. They would have came out already with the Tom Brady decision. They would have said, you know what? We were wrong. There was new information in Tom Brady's hearing that led us to believe that there was no to little wrongdoing happening. Tom Brady, no suspension.
But, I mean,
we're giving you back your first-round draft pick.
You're assuming that they could just make that up. In other words, what if there wasn't any new? I don't think there probably was any new information in the hearing. I think they just said it a lot better this time around because they were prepared. I mean, I'm talking about Tom Brady's side. How could there have been new information? I think they wouldn't be able to say that. They would be. This is a difficult thing for them to be able to say, how do we do this and what number do we arrive at? Is it zero? Is it one? Is it two? I think it has to be one of those three. It's one of those three options right there, each one with vastly different ramifications. You know, you can't go, I mean, if it's two, then you're just basically saying that's what every reduction is. All the charges basically still stand, and you are definitely going to end up in federal court. If it's one, you got a puncher's chance of not ending up there. But now Brady's people there's a statement that went out, I guess, to ABC News today from Tom Brady's lawyer, maybe, that even if it's one, he's going to federal court. And now the NFL.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
I am, too. I want him to fight. Unless it's zero games and zero money Tom Brady has to give up, I want him to fight.
And now the NFLPA is stepping in, and this is also the same NFLPA that yesterday accused the Broncos and Cowboys of collusion. So they're doing their job right now. I'm kind of proud of them. But they've stepped in and said, even if Brady doesn't fight it, we might. You know, he could just say, okay, I accept the one game, and the PA could come in and say, well, we don't. You could go do what you got to do, but now we're going to fight this on your behalf.
No Brady, no banner.
Yeah, and that still stands, and... You know, but
do you think if Tom Brady accepts it, there will still be no Brady, no banner? Or do you think Robert Kraft has made nice with Roger Goodell?
I think the no Brady, no banner thing is a purely mob rule situation. It's up to the fans in New England.
It's up to Robert Kraft.
Oh, he won't do it. He won't.
You don't think Roger Goodell, who's now allegedly on good terms with Robert Kraft, is going to come in and be like, hey, Robert, like this big, this is the second biggest day of the NFL season, opening night. You got to reveal the banner. Robert Kraft, the man who wimpily washed away into the corner instead of fighting his punishment.
Robert Kraft won't make that decision because he thinks that's the right thing to do. Because what'll happen, that'll happen spontaneously. As soon as that thing comes down with it, he's going to miss the Pittsburgh game. We're going to have to gauge. And if he accepts it, it is different. You know, if they just say the NFL said it and that's it and Tom can't do anything, it will be deafening in all six states. Like, no Brady, no banner. And then I believe Kraft will probably come up with a way to have no banner going on there, and it's just going to embarrass the crap out of the NFL, yes. However, they're not just going to fold their arms and be like, no, we're not going to put up the banner without our quarterback. It's going to start with the mob rule in the six New England states. And you'll get it, too. You'll absolutely
get
doubt. It. That's a guarantee.
I mean, we're already getting it. We're already preparing for it.
We love fighting.
I'm on a Facebook group that's just about the Patriots, like defending the Patriots and stuff like that. It's just a bunch of Patriots fans. Jerry Thornton commented on it today on our radio station.
Why?
I don't know. My friend invited me to it, and I don't like. I don't delete friends. I don't get out of groups that are lame.
I want to log on to a site that just says things I already think. Okay.
Why not? Help reinforce your own ideas. Get the juices flowing.
No, I don't want anybody else in this insanity with me, and I wouldn't impose it on anybody else either. David Day Sports Forum, be right back.
Summer, when the world comes to Newport to visit the Breakers, Marble House, the Elms. Everyone knows these are the best historic house tours in Newport, or are they? When was the last time you visited Kingscote, Isaac Bell House, Hunter House, or Chateau Sur Mer? Green Animals in Portsmouth is a wonderland of topiary gardens and lawns to occupy a child's imagination for an entire afternoon. The world may think it knows the best places to visit in Newport. You know better. Visit NewportMansions.org for daily schedules.
Looking for inspiration? Or wonder if God is really there to help you in every time of need? If so, tune in and find answers on the Christian Science Sentinel Radio Edition. Hear people testify to the power of prayer and God's ever-presence. That's Sentinel Radio. Tune in for the good news.
Listen Saturday morning at 9 for the Christian Science Sentinel Radio Edition on your hometown information station, 1540 WADK and WADK.com.
More coffee? Oh, wait. Don't you have to get your car serviced?
Uh-huh.
What time?
Anytime. They take me right away. I don't need an appointment.
Really? And it only takes an hour, sometimes less.
Introducing Premier Express from Mercedes-Benz. Vehicle maintenance in about an hour or less with no appointment necessary.
Then get another coffee and tell me about your date.
Now there's something I wish would have taken an hour or less.
Visit mbusa.com/Premier Express for a participating dealer near you. Premier Express. It's about you. And it's about time.
So, you've purchased a new home. Congratulations! Now it's time to think about homeowners insurance. Consider some of the surprising ways you can save. At least 4 out of the top 10 insurers offer discounts to first-time home buyers. Many top insurers also offer a price break to senior citizens. And if you were in a frat or a sorority in college, some insurers will even offer you a discounted rate for being part of the Greek system.
Jamestown's Information Station, 1540. WADK.
Final segment of the Sports Forum here. Got an announcement. This is from Colleen McGrath. Due to the weather forecast, a Rusty Cheetahs concert scheduled for July 15th tonight has been moved to July 16th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The free concert will be held in Ballard Park's Quarry Meadow. So that's their typical. Actually, I was thinking about this earlier too, and I'm sorry I didn't say this earlier in the show. But Ballard Park is doing the music every Wednesdays. It's a really kind of a cool thing. You go down to the Quarry Meadow, and it's like this natural amphitheater. It's a great place to go at night. But the weather's not cooperating with them tonight. I actually just looked at the radar on my phone, and it looks like there's a couple of thunderstorms, like basically at First Beach right now, like moving over the rest of Newport. That's what the little colored thing said. So yeah, we're probably gonna be getting some rain here tonight. So no concert tonight. It's being moved to tomorrow, and let's see here, tomorrow from 7 to 8:30 p.m. and that's at Ballard Park. So I wanted to share that with you. What were you about to ask me, Dave?
Look, I love comic book movies, and I was just wondering, as a man of your stature, will you see Ant-Man which comes out Friday.
First of all, what stature? Second, you know what? I have to say, because if you asked me that and I hadn't seen the trailer for it now, like the commercial, like 50 times at least, no way, because I've never heard of Ant-Man. I don't know that comic book. It sounds stupid to me. It's like they're really reaching for this one. However, I have seen the commercial, and it looks like, wait, is this okay? Is this kind of good? I mean, is it like, you know what it is? Is it like Guardians of the Galaxy? Where when I saw the ads, when I heard the name, when everything about it, I was like, well, this is stupid. And then I ended up watching that with my kids, and
it's a really funny movie. Patrick, it's a fun movie.
Patrick had already seen it like 4 times.
Oh, I saw it five times in the theater.
And then Scott, this is last Christmas, Patrick had already seen it 4 times. I think Scott had seen it twice. And Scott, for Christmas, got Patrick the DVD of Guardians of the Galaxy. He opens it up. He's like, excellent. Now I can watch it again. And we watched, all three of us watch it. And that movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it, is terrific.
It is terrific.
It's awesome, and it's different. It's very different.
It's different than Iron Man, Captain America.
It's not like that. It's almost a comedy.
No, it is a comedy. It's out there.
But I mean, there's comedy with like an action plot that's going on. There is a goal.
And I think,
you know, that it's not like, you know,
Ant-Man is going to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe's version of Ocean's 11. At Ant-Man's core, it's a heist movie.
Wait a second, Ocean's 11, so you're saying they're going to have a lot of superheroes in this?
No. I'm talking about
that aspect. No,
but like the heist version. Like, it's a heist movie.
Okay.
Scott Lang, who plays Ant-Man in this, played by Paul Rudd, and is a former criminal. He's a former B&E guy. Not bacon and eggs, but breaking and entering. That's a Dane Cook joke, and I regret saying it. But Paul Rudd, automatically, this movie looks hysterical, because you have Paul Rudd, who...
It's pretty funny.
Who can play a normal guy, but a very funny normal guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like... I'm pointing at myself for people not in this room right now.
No, just move on.
Kind of like me. And you take in the Marvel aspect of it, where it's obviously going to have connections to the Avengers, to Iron Man, to Captain America, because Ant-Man...
Okay, so let me ask you about that aspect, because I bet you a lot of people listening to us have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the Marvel comic universe, what is the Marvel... from a movie standpoint.
From the movie standpoint...
What is that?
It started in 2008.
Is Spider-Man part of that?
He is now.
Okay. I mean, tell me, what do you mean when you say that? And you're talking to somebody who has no clue...
All these Marvel movies. The Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, the Avengers, even Guardians of the Galaxy. They all are connected. They all take place in the same universe. And so you're going to have references to characters in films. Like, I believe in Ant-Man, there's a scene actually where, if you see the commercial, the Falcon from this Captain America sequel is in the commercial. And apparently, Captain America 3 is called Civil War. It's basically Captain America versus Iron Man. And Paul Rudd's Ant-Man is in that movie. It's this trend now where all these movies have to
make sense.
Continuity is a very big word now in these franchises.
Okay.
You can't have one character show up here but another here, and it doesn't make sense within the timeline.
I've done long.
It's very nerdy stuff we're dealing with now.
No, but I like it.
I love it.
I like what you're saying.
I read comics weekly.
I think that you're from a concept standpoint, for all the people who don't read comics, they're like, oh, really? Okay, maybe this is worth, you know, at least taking my kids to as an excuse. But I've done several long little things, segments, on what the serialized drama on television has done to movies. And, you know, they're really threatening to kill movies. Movie theaters, movie companies, production companies have to do this now almost, where if you've got to want to see it on a big screen. And you and I have already lost our minds about Mad Max. It to me was like
Mad Max, Jurassic World. These movies are not made for you to view.
What they're doing is they're saying, we're not making one movie, we're making 30.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And so, I mean, now you tell me this, because you actually have some pretty good intel sometimes. Are they actually filming scenes for other movies while, like Ant-Man's going to show up in this Captain America thing, and they're filming Ant-Man. Do they go over there to that studio, you're going to do a quick Captain America scene, or do they use CGI to do this? Or?
No, what tends to happen...
Because the actor has to agree to that they're going to do that.
No, the actor, when he signs the contract, normally the Marvel contract is like 6 pictures. It's 6 movies. 3 Ant-Man movies and 3 like Avenger movies or popping up in other movies. And what ends up happening is, Marvel is very famous for making the after credits teaser.
Yeah.
And so right now you have Ant-Man coming out, but a month ago they were filming Captain America. And my guess is the scene you'll see at the end of Ant-Man that leads into Captain America 3 was shot a month ago.
Eating?
No, that was one movie. But at the end, let's go Iron Man, for instance, the first film in this universe. Iron Man, at the end of it, you have Nick Fury coming in being like, hey, you're part of a bigger world. We're talking about the Avenger Initiative. So a lot of the times, it is world building. It is taking and expanding upon the universe. It is getting you to want to be excited for the next Avengers, the next Ant-Man, the next Captain America.
When my kids were growing up, and I don't know if you ever, you're quite a bit younger than me. I'm not making fun of you, but you and I are a generation apart.
Yes.
And your
kids are my age.
My kids are almost your age.
Just
yes.
A little younger.
And my kids played with Pokemon.
Yeah, I did.
When they were growing up. And I could not get it. I think this is commonplace now, but it was the first time I ever really encountered it. So what you have here is a single cartoon that has spawned. At one time, I remember we owned 168 action figures. And that was only the action figures. I mean,
action figures, you had the video games, you had the cards, you had the blankets, the pillows, t-shirts.
We were invested in Pokemon Incorporated.
So was I.
And I'm thinking that's kind of what this is they're getting you to invest in Marvel Movies Incorporated right here, because if you see one, even and you could jump in anywhere.
Do you know
you're
who owns Marvel?
No idea.
Disney.
Really? When did that happen?
That happened in 2009.
Is Disney becoming an entertainment Death Star? Because they own ESPN, too.
Disney, and they own Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
They bought Lucasfilm, which owns Star Wars and Indiana Jones, those are the two major properties, from George Lucas for $4
billion. So they're becoming the entertainment Death Star.
They already are.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Disney is the Walmart of the entertainment industry. Disney owns a lot of things you would be surprised that they own.
Is that a good thing?
Look.
That movies are still being made like this? Because I think,
yes.
You'd have to be a mega company to make these movies. From a comic book fan,
growing up when I was 10, all I wanted to see were my favorite characters on film. All I wanted to see were more Batman, more Tim Burton's Batman, more Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. And now it's the market, yes, it's getting overinflated. But I view this time of comic book movies and these franchise universe-building films, kind of like how in the 60s and 70s, you would have 8 westerns a summer. All right, and eventually this phase, this fad, like all other fads, will phase down. We'll only get like 1 or 2 comic book movies a year.
These things have to make a lot of money because they cost a ton of money to make.
Yes, and look, when you think we have a lot now, DC is just getting started. I don't know if you saw the Batman versus Superman trailer,
yeah.
Which I've seen a way too many. I'm not gonna say it on air. I've seen it more than 10 times.
And
already.
Hasn't all like
that trailer?
Except for the Batman franchise, haven't all the DC movies really stunk?
Yes, especially Green Lantern.
Green Lantern
and
stands
Superman
out.
Superman Returns was garbage. Man of Steel was. I enjoyed it, but a lot of people thought it was way too grim and
they
way
haven't
too
made
dark.
An Aquaman yet.
They are. You know who's playing Aquaman?
Who?
Khal Drogo. From Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. Now I got you.
Jason Momoa is playing Aquaman.
Wow. Wow.
I'm going to show you a picture because Zack Snyder, the director, has already released the picture of Aquaman.
Okay.
Who's going to show up.
I can't wait for your Aquaman fan art. That's going to be awesome. That's it for today. You're out tomorrow, right?
Okay, potentially. I'll be flying solo likely.
I'll be flying solo tomorrow here on the Sports Forum on W80K.
This has been the Open Forum with Dave Rogers. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of station management or its advertisers. Your views and opinions are welcomed at 846-1028. Join the show weekdays at 3 on 1540 WADK. Listen online 24/7 at WADK.com.